السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما My noble audience, last week by the grace of Allah Almighty, we spoke about one of the most important people in the history, the rich history of Islam. And I'm alluding to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. We made mention that there was a Mubarak Majlis. And when I say Mubarak, it consisted of the most righteous people in its time. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And each one of them made mention of what was desired by them in this dunya. So they highlighted their favorites. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, when his turn came after Hazrat Uthman Ghani expressed his likes, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا ثَلَاثٌ From this dunya, there are three things that are desired by me. And I made mention that if we study these three likes of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, it gives us a good understanding of the personality of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So the first like is Al-Khidmatu Lid-Dhaif. We made mention of that last week. That there are many, many rituals, there are many, many orders, there are many things that are to be liked. But from all, the first is Al-Khidmatu Lid-Dhaif, and that is to serve the guest. Meaning Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an likes to be a host, and then he will be a very good host. And he feels privileged when he is a host. The second that we will shed light upon today is وَالصَّوْمُ فِي الصَّيْفِ وَالصَّوْمُ فِي الصَّيْفِ That I like fasting in summer, when it is hot. Now this like of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an gives us a very strong message of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what he was about. That he liked fasting when it was very, very warm. Now many a times we try to discharge a good deed, but we try to find a conducive environment. Nowadays, we find many, many people, they travel from Europe in the month of Ramadan and they come to Australia. Now I'm not saying this is wrong. We're not talking about right and wrong. We're not giving a fatwa or a ruling. But it is just the mizaj of people, they're trying to find ease. And that's fine. Nowadays when people go for Hajj, they try to find the best Hajj package. And they will spend a lot of money. And these packages nowadays, they are providing people that will massage them at night. It's fine. I'm not saying this is halal. I'm not saying it is haram. I'm not speaking about that dimension. But what we try to do nowadays is we try to find an environment that is most conducive to the amal. And we should thank Alhamdulillah if we can even place ourselves in that environment. So Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful masjid and we are going to establish Jumu'ah prayer, but it is in a very cool environment. There are air conditions, and in many masajid where there are not air conditions, there are fans. Alhamdulillah. We should make shukr upon that, that Allah has given us the opportunity, the chance to make sajda to him. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he approached a'mal in a very different manner. First of all, he would discharge the amal, but he will try to find an environment that was not conducive. So let me give you an example for those people, the youngsters that go to the gym. So one is running on the treadmill, but there's an air condition. And one is that you're running on the treadmill, but you are in the sauna. Yeah? That dry sauna where it's very, very hot. And now you are doing exercise in that arena, in that theater. Now it's much harder, but the results are much greater. I found one person in the gym, he was preparing to compete in a bodybuilding competition. And in summer, he used to wear 3 or 4 coats, and then he used to run on the treadmill. So what are you doing? He said, this is one of the best ways to shed weight. So you will perspire, you will sweat. I know it is very, very hard, it is very, very sticky. Yeah, and sometimes you nearly even dehydrate. I feel very, very faint. But what I am doing right now, I will see the results in quick time. Now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is fasting, and we fast as well. But he tries to find an environment where he can see the results of fasting in quick time. Saqlain Mushtaq, when he came here, he made mention that the cricketer of Pakistan, he made mention of something that really resonated with me. He said that we go to Masjid Nabawi, we come to Holland Park Mosque, and we have the fans on, and we say, Allahu Akbar. Now there's a beautiful, comfortable carpet under your feet. If you are to look above, you see a beautiful chandelier hanging. If you look to the right and you look to the left, the masjid is adorned, and alhamdulillah. Now, there will be a certain feeling when you are praying in a masjid of such comfort. But he said, once we went to the north of Pakistan, where there was no electricity. There was no electricity. And we had to pray at night in the open. And it was pitch black. And there was fear that there may be a beast that may emerge from the bush and attack. And he said, when we said Allahu Akbar in that environment, there was an experience of reliance upon Allah Almighty. He said, we felt the iman and the taqwa when we were praying. So that was an environment. Now, it is not necessary that everyone finds such an environment. That's why I've said, we're not talking about the ruling. We're talking about why did Hazrat Ali search for such an environment? Because it allows you to experience the height of that amal. Not only discharging the amal, but experiencing the ecstasy with it. I can say about myself, and most probably people will agree, that our salah is without ecstasy. True? It is without that mazah, that pleasure. Indeed we pray, alhamdulillah, and Allah accepts such prayers. But there's not that feeling in that prayer, where we can prolong our prayer for hours, and we can enjoy our prayer. The Sahaba, when they used to pray to find sukoon in the prayer. So when they were disturbed, struck by anxiety, hypothetically, I don't believe that they were ever struck by anxiety, they used to find sukoon in the salah. Now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is saying, وَالصَّوْمُ فِي الصَّيْفِ, I used to like fasting in summer. Now the ulama have deeply studied this statement, this fragment of this beautiful lengthy hadith, and they have come to this conclusion that when a person discharges a amal in an environment that is not conducive, it is very, very mighty upon the base self, the nafs-e ammara. The nafs-e ammara is crushed. So if a person wants to fast, first of all, this really disturbs the nafs-e ammara. It shakes the nafs-e ammara, the base self. It doesn't want us to fast. And then we push it to another level. We say, alright, you don't want to fast, I am going to fast, but I'm going to find an environment that is not conducive to the fasting. So now this really weakens the nafs. Urdu mein kehte hain nafs ammara ki maghloobiyat. It is to crush the nafs ammara. It is to crush the nafs ammara. I would like to halt here and shed light upon a ruling. So after the month of Ramadan, many brothers that were traveling, or many brothers that fell sick in the month of Ramadan, or many sisters that could not fast due to the menstrual discharge in the month of Ramadan, they say, Imam Sahib, when do we make up for the fast? First of all, we have to keep in mind, it is a physical makeup for the fast that has been missed. If a person is in the state of health, after the month of Ramadan, he has to physically make up for the fast. If a person cannot make up for it physically, chronically he is sick, or the person has passed away, then for one fast it is 1.6 kilos of wheat, or 3.2 kilos of barley, or the amount equivalent to what I have just made mention. And that may be about $5 or $6 for one fast. The same is for one prayer. The same is for one prayer. Now there's only 30 fasts in a year. There's only 30 fasts in a year. But there's not 30 salahs in a year. You will make up for 30 salahs in 6 days. Now think about it, if one person, Allah forgive us, safeguard us from his ghadab, if one person, he misses out on 5 years of fasting, and now he's on his deathbed, and he is wealthy, he will dictate, he will make mention that, look, I missed 5 years, and for each day you will have to give $5, 1.6 kilos of wheat or 3.2 kilos of barley, that is equivalent to $5 or $6. So one entire month is covered by how many dollars? $150. So let's say 5 years is $750. But if one person has missed 5 years of prayers, how much will he have to pay? That is 5 prayers per day times 350, so on and so forth. You have to be a very, very wealthy person to give the compensation for the missed prayers. And that's why Islam has stressed the importance of prayer over any other ibadat. Now one person, alhamdulillah, we don't experience that nowadays, but when I came here in 96, we were fasting in the month of December. So in December, fasting in Australia is the hardest circumstances. So people after the month of Ramadan used to wait for 6 months to make up for the fast that were missed in winter. Now if the person passes away in 6 months, he will be accountable. He will be accountable. Allah is going to say, why didn't you fast? You had 6 months to make up for 3 fasts or 4 fasts or 10 fasts. So I would like my noble audience, including myself, to focus upon this, that we try to discharge the amal in quick time. Don't allow yourself to be in the state of debt. Now this is a debt as well. There's a monetary debt, of course. That one person, he borrowed, let's say $10,000 from a person. If that person passes away and he hasn't paid, what was the behavior of the Nabi of Allah with such a deceased person? Didn't participate in his janazah. Now this is a debt as well. Let's say that is a physical debt. This is a spiritual debt. We're going to be held accountable. So we need to depart this dunya with a clean slate. So if we have missed out on anything in the past, and we all make mistakes, no one is perfect, we can make our mistakes, we do make our mistakes, then let's just be mindful of what is the method by which I can make up for the mistake that I committed. May it be the youngsters, may it be the adults. I met a person a few years ago, 65 years of age. He started praying at the age of 60. Now indeed Allah is merciful. But according to the qanun, according to the law, from the age of 15 to 60, he has to make up for the prayers. Now of course we believe that if this person starts physically making up for it, and he does not repay remove himself from that state or exonerate himself from that debt, inshallah Allah will forgive. But there has to be an attempt. There has to be an effort. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to try to find that environment that was not conducive to crush the nafsi ammar. In Surah Naziat, Surah 79, verse 40 and 41, Allah highlights the special marks of those people that will be allowed to enter Jannah. So the special marks pertaining to the inmates of Jannah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Two marks, two qualities by which a person will be allowed to make it into Jannah. Number one, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. A person who fears the day where he will stand in front of his Creator, where Allah will question him, what did you do and why did you do it? What did you do and why did you do it? And if Allah is to interrogate a person at a moderate level, this person will not succeed. Huh. Now let me halt here for a split moment. Once again, if you knew about my personal life, and if I knew about your personal life, and if my entire life from my inception till today, and your entire life from inception till today, was to be known to me, and my life was to be known to you, the probability is we will not have this relationship. I could not respect you, you could not respect me, most probably. It was only the Nabi of Allah who could make that statement, and that will echo till the day of judgment, فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمْرًا مِّن قَبْلِ. When he gave dawah to the people of Makkah, he said, look, the veracity, the authenticity, the truthfulness of my message lies in me. I have lived with you during the days, during the nights. You have seen me grow from a child to a youth, from a youth to an adult. You have seen me before marriage, you have seen me after marriage, you have seen me in the daylight, you have seen me in the darkness of the night, you have dealt with me, you have done transactions with me. My life is an embodiment of veracity. My life is the dalil, the proof of what I am saying is correct. Now, there's not many people who can say that. Very, very hard. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we say, is an open book. It is an open book. You can flip through the pages and you can't find blemish anywhere. But if our book was to be opened, and if a person was allowed to go through the pages, we will die in shame. Now, Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he understood from this ayat? Fearing that day when I will stand in front of Allah. I just want you to depict that moment. A person is standing in front of Allah alone. وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You will be brought forward in front of Allah alone, as you came alone in this dunya. أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. But there is one simple thing we can do that will allow us to sustain that veil that does not allow us to be revealed in front of people. There's a veil right now. There's a veil around me, you can't see me. There's a veil around you, I can't see you. It is Allah who removes that veil, and then everything is visible. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. A person who hides the faults of his brother, Allah will hide his faults. Kitna asan. Isa alayhi salatu was salam, and we're talking about Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali used to look like Jesus. In the ahadith mubarakah, they say Hazrat Hassan used to look like Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he used to look like Jesus, peace be upon him. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to his disciples that if you are walking on a road and you find a person is lying there, and he's sleeping on the road, and there's a mighty wind that blows, that pushes his undergarment away from his satr, and his satr becomes revealing, what would you do? What would you do? So now you are passing by a person who was sleeping, the wind blew and his satr opened. What would you do? They said, we will cover him. He said, no, you don't cover him. You absolutely remove that cloth. You take it away that he can't cover himself in the future. The disciple said, what are you saying, O Isa? Isa alayhi salam, what are you saying? He says, when one person is speaking ill of another, you intervene and you take it to the next level. Speaking ill, sharing the faults of others, you are revealing him. If somebody is speaking ill of one person, cover him. Don't speak about him. Now, like myself and yourself, to think about this. The first special mark by which a person will be allowed to cross the line is makhafa. Khafa maqama rabbi. He fears that day. Kya kahoge Allah ko? What will you say to Allah Almighty when He questions you? Why did you do it? When did you do it? Why did you do it? What propelled you? And then we have spoken ill of people. For the last few weeks, my main topic is those aspects that are damaging the fabric of our unity. Those aspects that are damaging the fabric of our unity. We should be worried about ourselves. Bas. Ku anfusakum. Save yourselves. First save yourselves. Don't speak about others. Those that do speak about others, first of all, this is an indication they have ego. وَسَمَجْتِ هَمْ بِتْرِ. They think they are better. One person is sick and he's on the deathbed. Does he speak about other people? He's worried about his sickness. He's going to every doctor, consulting with the doctors, trying to find the best cure for the sickness. He even forgets about the sickness of his loved ones. He's worried about himself. Every person has that spiritual cancer. They're not worried about it. That is internally destroying them. Andar se khokhle ho chuke hum. And we're worried about the sicknesses of other people. And not only worried, judgmental, defaming them, derailing them in the society, demean in them. And then at the end of the day, we call ourselves believers. Believers were those. Believers were those. What a golden era. What a time. That they used to forsake their right. They didn't even entertain the thought, if my right is fulfilled. They used to fulfill the right of others. I would like to make mention it. I can't comprehend this. Where I stand, the emotions I have, the dirty heart that I have, I cannot comprehend this. That one Sahabi, he buys an animal from a seller. He brings it home. Now think about this. This is deen. Deen is not only Allahu Akbar. Deen is not only looking deendar, acting deendar. Religion is something that will bring a revolution in your life, and it will be visible wherever you are. If a person is deendar in the masjid, but he is hurting the feelings outside, he's not a deendar. He's not religious. He's not a mu'min. Iman is something you can't switch off. In the daylight, can you turn the light of the sun off? It doesn't matter if it is 10 o'clock. It doesn't matter if it is 12 o'clock. It doesn't matter if it is 2 o'clock. As long as it's day, you cannot turn the light off of the sun. As long as a person is a mu'min, you cannot turn the light of Iman off wherever he may be. He is directly in the presence of Allah Almighty. He is indirectly in the presence of Allah Almighty, speaking with his brother, dealing, transactions. You can't turn that light off. And that light is the light of Hidayah that will guide a person. He can't do wrong. Logon ko nanga kar dete hain. We leave a person in the state of nudity. No return back for that person. Make a slight mistake, Allahu Akbar. There's no chance for that person to return back to nobility. Make the slightest mistake. Choti galti to karo to sahi ek dafa, Allahu Akbar. We don't give him a chance. How many chances has Allah given us? Sochi. How many times Allah has given us chances? You ask yourself in your heart. Ashre ashir, uska daswa hissa bina diya hum logon ko. One person makes a mistake 30 years ago, we don't forget. This sahabi, he buys a horse, he comes back home. He's there with a beautiful horse. So one friend comes, he said, MashaAllah, what a horse. He said, how much did you buy it for? He said, I bought it for, let's say, 300 dirham. He said, 300 dirham, that's a bargain. That's a bargain. You to apne loot liya. He said, really? He said, what do you mean it's a bargain? He said, the true value of this horse is 500. He said, is that true? So the friend leaves. He goes to the seller and he gives him 200 dirham. He said, you did not know the value of your horse. You sold it under price. Gives him 200 dirham. Comes back home satisfied that I have given him the true value. Turns back home. Another person comes, another friend, MashaAllah, what a horse? He said, ah, yes. He said, how much did you buy it for? He said, 500. He said, 500, that's a bargain. He said, what do you mean it's a bargain? He said, the price of such a horse is 700. He said, really? He said, yes. He leaves, he goes to the seller once again. Gives him another 200. He said, you did not know. Now this seller is bamboozled. He's blown away. Ye kya ho raha hai? What's a buyer? But what made him go back? Everyone wants profit. I'm not speaking against profit. But the thing that propelled him, the thing that was regulating him, controlling him, was the welfare of his brother. They only thought about the rights of others. They did not think about their rights. They knew that if the society build themselves on this principle, my right will be fulfilled as well. If the society is built upon this principle, my right will be fulfilled. Ad-deenun nasiha. One of the first ahadith that we study in the madrasas. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ad-deenun nasiha. They say learn 40 ahadith, and this is one of the 40 ahadith they teach you because it consists of only two words. That deen is well-wishing for others. And did the Nabi of Allah say well-wishing for Muslims? Well-wishing for everyone. If one person can address the thirst of an animal and make it into Jannah, and one person burns an ant and doesn't make it across, a religion that is so profound, that speaks about the rights of creatures and insects, doesn't it give rights to insan? We call ourselves Muslims, but all our discussions, our mahfils, is about another person, a third person. The verbs that you should be using in your discussions are second verbs, second person verbs. Only the person that are present there. We only speak about the ghaib. Man satara musliman satarahu Allah yawm al-qiyamah. Hazrat Ali used to fast in an environment that was not conducive because this ayat was in his mind. He wanted to suppress his base self. I'm saying this again, and I want this message to echo in Brisbane, and then if Allah wills throughout the world. Islam is not confined to one department. Islam is a lifestyle. There are a set of laws pertaining to every sector of our life. Deen ko bana diya bas namaz padhni. Do teen din ye kaam kar liye, do teen din wo kaam kar liye, bas deen mukammal ho gaya. 2 days here, 2 days there. One function here, one function there. And we think this is deen. No. We will not prosper. We will not succeed. We need to accept the entire package. And one of the most important pillars of this package is deenun nasiha. Hazrat Ali used to fast to control. It's not going to happen like that. What is going to give you, me, and the you, me power when we are sitting in our zone? Let me use that word. When we are sitting in our zone and enjoying backbiting, what is going to give me the strength to pull away? I ask you, what is going to give you the strength? What is going to give me the strength? How do I pull away? One person, he likes a certain food. Let's say there's an ice cream. And he takes the first scoop. Oh, mashallah, mazag. Ah, beautiful, lazeez. What makes him pull away from the second scoop? Why does he pull away? Because of the harm. He knows the sugar. Everywhere he goes, they speak about human health. In his mind, there's a section that has taken that message that if I take the second scoop, that's too much sugar for the day. He wants to take that scoop, it's delicious, but he pulls away. Do we know the harms of what we are doing? Do we speak about those harms? If we don't speak about the harm, if we don't speak about what we are doing, we're not going to pull away. We're going to drench ourselves in such majalis that are destroying our inner ability and leaving our bank balance empty. Don't, I say to myself, don't open your mouth in regards to anyone. Don't do it. It is the most foolish action. And this is what deen tells us. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he controlled this. That's why he used to fast in summer. That's why they say if a person can't control his carnal desires, what should he do? What did the Nabi of Allah say? Fast. Fasting gives you that control. Because at all times you are in war with yourself. You're fasting during the day. You want to look, you can't look. There's that fast that pulls you away. You want to eat, fast pulls you away. And then the environment makes it even harder. It gives you that polish on your nafs. Apna ego mardo. Destroy this. This ana. Destroy it. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy me. Ana. What did the shaitan say? Ana khair. Ana. His journey of destruction started from the word ana. Ana khayrun minhu khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. Ana, I am better because I am made out of fire. He is made out of clay. This ana was the starting point of his destruction. A person cannot attain perfection in faith until this ana is destroyed. And ana will only be destroyed when you settle down and think about others rather than yourself. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq. The topic is very, very lengthy. Inshallah, we will continue speaking about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in the weeks to come. Subhanakallahumma. Wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.